What's the first thing you remember when you're going to a cafe? Like, think back for the first time that you went to Family Cafe.
The very first time I went to Family Cafe. I would say that a lot of fun was displayed there. I mean, I didn't have to work at all that first cafe I was at. I mean, the very first one of that. But,
I've been to the very first one when I was a baby.
Oh.
And the thing is, my mom took me down for the first time, and she was very new to this. She didn't know what cafe was at the time when she found out that, because she had a church group before when she came down for the first time. And even though we were still up in Philadelphia, when she heard about this thing that was going to happen, she found out that she knew that she wanted to go and check and see what the Family Cafe was about and how it actually wanted to check it out for the first time. And since then on,
because my family was going, I really didn't know what to expect.
I didn't know what to expect either, and I may not remember too much, like, for the first time, but once I got older, when I was little, every single year I've been coming into these events, you know, seeing new people that are like me and not try, you know, to seem so different from everybody else, you know. And sometimes my disability kind of interferes of certain things that I need to do in order to keep doing things that I want to maintain in my life. So, right. So yeah, I mean, there's so many memories I have with Family Cafe that you can't really cherish every single one of them. But I remember
some of them you might want to forget too.
I guarantee you that. But there's certain things that in cafe that I remember, especially since cafe has been into different hotels time after time, because there's always a change of
scenery,
right? And every single year, or not every single year, but
normally
every other year, let's put it this way, there's always a new hotel or a new resort or a new conference that's been changed. And every single year, it's always has been in Orlando since then, since the very beginning. For those of you who don't know about the Family Cafe, it started by a person named Lori Fahey. I hope I said her name right.
Lori Fahey.
Say what?
I think it's Lori Fahey is how you pronounce it.
I thought it was Fahey, but okay. I mean, the way how it looked. But she started the Family Cafe in the year 1998, and the Family Cafe has brought together thousands of individuals with disabilities, their family members, for 3 days of training, networking, every single June. With a great range of individual breakout sessions and a packed exhibit hall with dozens of vendors and a series of special events, including keynote speakers and the Governor's Summit on Disabilities, the annual Family Cafe offers families the exposure to a wide range of public and private resources, opportunities to find support by networking with other families, and an unprecedented access to policymaking officials. Since the cafe has been growing since then on for like the last 20 years, and it's actually became
this juggernaut.
Is that what?
I'd describe it as a juggernaut now, but
right. It's becoming the nation's largest cross disability event, not just here in the state of Florida, but in
nationwide.
Right, across the country.
For me, Lori embodied this quote from my favorite NBA All-Star player. Mm-hmm. And I know for those who didn't watch last podcast, y'all really need to listen to it. But this is my favorite quote from Michael Jordan. He says this: I can accept failure. Everyone fails at something. But I cannot accept not trying. To me, Lori is the very embodiment of that quote right there.
Right, and she started doing this basically for her daughter, Carly, because if you you and I know Carly, she has a physical disability.
She's real nice.
Right, and she's if I'm mistaken, she's a teacher, right?
I think she works in the nation's capital.
Oh, right, she does. She works in Washington D.C. I did remember that when we were at the January meeting. I thought she was a teacher. I don't know what came in my head.
What she was thinking was she was the first one of the first youth council members.
Well, correct. And her and Alex Brown, when they started the council, we're actually going to go through that episode on another time, because we want to just focusing on CAFE. Her and Alex Brown basically kind of started the council. And when it was back in 2008, where supposedly they were kind of new, how are we going to get people or young adults to be active in their communities, especially with adults with disabilities or young teenagers by the age of 13, 14, and 15. Because back then they used to accept people who were like 13 years old, but now we only accept like people who are above 15. They want to make sure what we can do to have young adults like myself, like you, like me, to try to do something for our community to make a difference. And when they started doing this, it actually became a huge factor to CAFE. And that's why CAFE is still going strong to this day. And unfortunately, not a lot of people, especially in the state of Florida, they don't really know what Family CAFE is.
But outside of Florida, you can go outside of Florida all you want and ask, hey, have you heard about the Family CAFE? Yeah, I've heard about it.
I mean, we have people who come from across the country and across some parts of the world.
Chicago, you name it.
We had people who wrote books, who own businesses, people with disabilities, all over the country actually come down and, you know, wanted to be a part of this event, because this is, like I said, this is the biggest cross-disability event in the country. And a lot of people take this opportunity to grow and network and try to talk to other families. I mean, there are probably other events that are happening with people with disabilities all over the world, but
I think this might be the biggest thing.
It could be one of the biggest things.
Right.
But we can make it the biggest thing if we keep, you know, talking about it. You know, we keep putting our voice out there to make sure that we talk about, you know, the issues that are going on in the disability community at the same time. Getting to meet new people is also a thing that we should cherish, at least the moments, because we meet so many different families with so many different stories that we can understand, you know, I have been to their shoes, I have been to their children's shoes, and I understand, you know, their situation in particular, that what they went through when I was a kid, you know. And that's something that we always, you know, we always make sure that we observe a lot of things that are happening with the disability community, with folks like ourselves, that we try to make sure that we can have an important cause out there and put our voices out there, so that way we can make a difference one day, and it could be a big difference, you know.
I mean, we're not just taking one step at a time, we're also taking 15 shots at a time, because I mean, let's face it, we're gonna miss every single shot we take if we don't take any at all,
right? Because basically the shots that are worse, it's the shots that you don't make. So we have so many resources in CAFE, that we got the council, we had so many companies that sponsor the CAFE, you know, companies like Disability Rights, Vocational Rehabilitation, FAST, all these companies that have been such a great benefit to people with disabilities. And one thing that I can look at for a positive outlook, especially for the future, we can probably see there are going to be more companies that are going to be out there that that could probably make sure that we wanted to have an open invitation for many other companies that could help benefit with events like this, you know.
And when y'all fill out those cards when y'all come to visit the Family Cafe, you're not only telling the cafe what they can improve on, you're also telling us on what we can improve on as well. Because we're only going to get better if we know what we need to do.
So this past year, we had our 21st annual Family Cafe, which and this year, well, this past year, since it's already been finished, we had our theme was this year was Casino Royale. So we had like people dressing up as Elvis, and because, you know, the theme is supposed to be a Casino Royale thing. I mean, when it comes to mind for me, when talking about Casino Royale, I think about James Bond because of the movie itself, and it's one of my favorite James Bond movies, and that thing just pops into my head, especially, you know, since I'm such a film fanatic.
The first thing that pops in my mind is Tyson Ali.
I'm
a huge MMA and boxing fan, and fighting fan, whatever you want to call me.
I don't think the Family Cafe will be promoting that.
but not to take away from some of his quotes too, he has some very good quotes for people with disabilities as well. Because, I mean, he was a big supporter of them as well, because I think his family was some of his family was disabled, if I'm correct.
Well, remember, he was also, he's also had a disability himself.
That is true.
In his later life. But, you know, I kind of ask around, like, what is their favorite memory of CAFE? And majority of people always said was the dance, Saturday night.
The dance. It always comes down to the dance. 100% right. of people will say the dance.
So
I don't know why, but I think it has something to do with just the music and Elsa, or the characters just popping up in Disney World.
Mm-hmm. And we have like a DJ, you know, every time when we have Family Cafe on Saturday nights, we always have a dance, you know. It's kind of like a party for people with disabilities. I mean, it's like a party for everybody to come and enjoy each other's, having a good time, making sure, you know, make sure you show up your best dance moves. And we look at...
Or we could just sit down and relax. It doesn't really matter.
It really doesn't. Especially for the parents out there, it doesn't really matter. I think for them, it was pretty much relaxing. But for the kids, you know, they want to jump around and have some fun, you know.
If you have like little kids, I think you want to sugar them up and all that, like give them like cans of soda and just let them run free. I don't know, whatever floats your boat.
So this year, we had Judy Heumann, who was the keynote speaker, she was amazing. We actually kind of know a little bit about Judy. She was a pioneer. Well, not much of a pioneer, but she revolutionized the help of civil rights for people with disabilities. And the thing is, what are you saying?
Along with Justin Dart, she paved the way.
Okay, yeah, right. Her and Justin Dart had actually really helped a lot for the people with disability community, especially since she was a part of the 1970s protests that many people with disabilities were not even allowed to be in schools. They were not allowed to even have, you know, normal jobs. And it really...
Fathom that, Alex. Can you?
Hmm?
I can't even imagine that. Can you?
No, I can't. Because, you know, these types of situations that happen and this is part of American history that, you know,
it's forgotten.
Of course. And people with disabilities who are born in America, they're Americans as well. And we don't want to have, you know, their rights taken away just because they've worked so hard just to get somewhere and you're denying them any credits to have the jobs that they want or the careers that they want. So Judy made such a huge contribution and huge effort to make sure that people with disabilities can have the jobs that they want, that they make sure that they're not going to be denied by any means necessary to let them have their same as equal rights as anybody else can have. And then once the ADA was passed during 1991, when H.W. Bush was the president, it was really such a huge victory for the people in the disability community.
But what strikes me as arrogant, though, is when people decide to take this freaking long to help people out. I mean, there were soldiers wounded in battle, okay, and they were, like, disabled from battle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they weren't always like that. I mean...
No.
I mean...
And there are some people... And there are
people. And then their families wouldn't help them out.
And there are people who were born with having a disability as well. And we had to live with what we have. So, the message...
We are. I'm saying that what's sad and arrogant about today's day we live in, it's no different. Alex, it is no different than something years ago.
Right, because there's not a lot of people that are talking about the disability history in schools and you know, other, you know, conversations that are out there. And we try to make sure we pass that along to have people to inform them that this is part of American history that has been long forgotten, and it cannot be ignored. It cannot be overlooked. It has to be, you know, we could talk about the civil rights, World War II.
We could talk about the last presidents
that we have here. And of course, you know, the big American Civil War. We could talk about any of those things.
People in it as well, because of the fact is people got disabled from that as well.
So you really can't talk about any war without talking about a disabled person.
Yeah, like, because many people were not really born but disabled until once they go out there and fight in combat and they lose a leg or they lose an arm, like they have or have some form of PTSD. It affects them a lot. So one thing I want to make sure that what we leave you with this is we got to keep passing on the knowledge and the information that we can put out there for anybody that make sure that don't really know the disability history. That's why this past year the FYC host a session for disability history and awareness, because if you don't know your history, you might as well destined to repeat it. So that's something that
has proven that over and over and over and over again. I mean, I'm going to take one example of where that has happened. Okay, so we start out with the World War, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many more years later before we repeat another World War? I mean, come on. Like, people, if y'all didn't learn from the first mistake of the First World War, y'all could prevent the second one. I mean, it's quite common sense.
Well, it also comes down to leaders and decision making and who's the one that's, you know, still causing conflicts, you know. Yeah, it could be preventable, but it depends on the leaders that, you know, people who are following. You know, Lori
is preventable as well.
Correct. And many people who are fought in those wars who suffer through it, which, you know, you're sending out soldiers to die.
Maybe come back at all.
And they come back as like they were never the same. They were never the same as they were when they left. And that's why along history, many people with disabilities have been so far forgotten that it's not that they can't really help themselves. And even some of the homeless veterans, a lot of them had disabilities physically, physical disabilities, mental disabilities.
The largest amount of veterans that are homeless are here in Jacksonville, Florida.
And it has to change somewhere. It has to start somewhere. And that's why it's so important that we make sure we get in contact with people to understand their story, to learn something about them, and make sure we can, you know, have our stories out there so that way people can listen, and that way we can make a huge difference in our, not just here in the state of Florida, but also even across the country. Because if you look at it this way,
it was a thank you for serving our country. I mean, it all comes down to your heart and generosity.
Right. And from that day forward, we can make huge strides for our causes. But at the end of the day, we just got to keep lending a helping hand and make sure that, one, we do our duty as Americans to help one another, and two, we make sure that we share our story and let people understand that, you know, it's not, you know, we're not forgotten. We are here for a reason. And on top of that, when you look at statistic-wise, many people in the disability community who have been encountered by police officers and other law enforcement officials are twice as likely to get arrested than individuals without one.
Well, and we can't look at top of us, but you just got to know that's a risk we're going to be taking.
And many individuals are nonverbal. You have to look at certain standards that when you try to encounter with other people, I understand there's many people that are nonverbal. There are verbal, but they may be talking in, you know, in their own specific way, in their specific language. But it's also making sure that, you know, these statistics are real. Like, they are, if you're an individual with a disability, you are twice as likely going to get arrested more often than a person without one. And we're not just talking about people with schizophrenia or mental some sort of mental illness. It's also people who have autism, who have dyslexia, epilepsy, who have epilepsy, and so many other things that are out there that we cannot like, there's things that we cannot comprehend beyond our standards. You know,
that's why that's why the disability community is three times as likely not able to be comfortable getting out of their comfort zone and talking to other people, because we're afraid, because some of them are afraid that they could be accused of being of doing something wrong when literally they're just saying hi. I mean, you just gotta take that into consideration, because like Alex said, the disability community is twice as likely to get arrested.
Absolutely. And we got to make sure that...
Even if they were just trying to say hi.
Say that again?
I said, even if they were just trying to say hi.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm just saying... I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that's exactly the reason, but I'm just saying... But it could
it just sounds
a little mean if you did use that, but I'm just saying, like, if you can't understand the person and you're... And someone's trying to say hi. I take it like when my friend, I'm going to use him as an example. Like my friend Pedro, right? He is blind and he can't really be understood that well. So I literally just say, okay, Pedro, can you repeat that for me? Just make sure I heard you correctly. Because I want to make sure I heard his words with precise hearing. Look, guys, we need to listen to what each other are saying fast, because we need to be quicker to hear than to action, because we really don't know what each other are saying. We can just ask each other to repeat what... Just say, I didn't hear you. Can you please repeat that? It's a lot easier than just assuming.
And maybe not a lot of people, like I said, they have to, if I could put it this way, get hands-on with many people in the disability community to make sure that, you know, we have our right to, you know, to follow our rules. Stay upright, make sure we have, you know, good behavior and things like that. And, you know, it also comes with the parents, as, you know, they teach us, you know, how to respect people, how to way to talk. You know, I didn't spoke a word of mouth until I was 4. So I didn't...
Well, you were lucky. I didn't do it till I was much later. I had therapy.
Right, and a lot of speech therapy kind of really helps the way how you can able to express yourself in certain ways. You know, when I was a little kid, when in elementary school, I had a lot of speech therapy, because sometimes I always stutter a lot, and I couldn't.
Would you consider a stroke a disability, Alex, or no?
A stroke?
Yeah.
Well, if somebody, I know having a stroke is a serious medical, you know, issue, but I think, yeah, it would kind of will account, unless if somebody has, you know, had a seizure, then, you know, or has some form of epilepsy, then, you know, people will say that, yeah, that counts as a disability. But somebody can suffer a stroke at any time, you know, especially a person with, you know, in their 40s, 50s, or in their 60s, you know. It usually happens when individuals that are in later, when they're much more older.
Right. And the reason I ask is because I know for a fact is back for a while from when history, when we were taught in history, Alex, back in grade school, about Julius Caesar, right? We were taught that he died of seizures. When later on we realized he just died of a stroke. But it was such this huge gap of time before they realized that. So I really think it may have been a collaboration of both. But I honestly think even though Julius Caesar could have died from a seizure or a stroke, or maybe both, he was one of the most
influential.
Yes, thank you. People to rule over a single country.
I mean, many people don't know that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in a wheelchair in his presidency because he had polio, and he was technically the first president who had a disability. And so even though he didn't project himself as that in the public eye, but he was in a wheelchair in most of his adult life. So
even the founding father with a disability, guys. I mean,
do you remember who was his name?
That's why I'm trying to remember his name right off the bat. I just can't. All I know is we did have a founding father with a disability. That, you gotta give me credit for that one.
I know, but I just want to make sure, do you know his name?
You saw the PowerPoint that has his name?
Of course, because I did the PowerPoint. I was the one who showed it to everybody.
And no, I do not remember the name.
Okay. The name... The name of the person that you're talking about is Stephen Hopkins. Yes, that's his name, Stephen Hopkins, and one of our founding fathers. He was a man with cerebral palsy, and he was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And I want to make sure it's Stephen Hopkins, not Hawkins. All right, Hopkins.
With a T, right?
Yes, Hopkins. So Hopkins is known for saying, "My hands may tremble, but my heart does not." And he was a member of the Rhode Island Assembly and delegate to the Albany Congress.
I think this is correct, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you will. But didn't Thomas Edison have a disability later on?
What form of disability was that?
I think it was like either... I believe it was something to do with the lightning strike hitting his brain or something.
He had several learning disabilities such as stuttering and dyslexia.
Oh, so it had nothing to do with the lightning strike.
No.
Wow, I'm such a genius.
Clearly. But what is your favorite thing about Cafe? If you can describe it in one sentence, what can you describe it as, Cafe?
If I could describe it up in one sentence, I would say
That's kind of hard.
There's a lot of sentences I would describe it as, but if I could describe it in one sentence, I would describe it as I'd say basically don't ever mistake the kindness of another person for weakness.
Okay.
Because the fact is that kindness will make you strong. And you have to show kindness if you want to gain kindness from another person.
I think for me to describe CAFE is a community that wants to come together and make sure that our bond is very strong and help one another to reach for whatever things that we need to do and make sure that we have an obligation and take the initiative of taking action and not just helping one another, but making a difference. So that way, once for the future, the people in the next generation will look and see we have come so far in ways that we are still going to keep growing and keep getting better. And we do it together.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, you can have a legacy all you want to. An organization can have a legacy. But it's how you're remembered through that legacy that really matters. Because the fact is that just because right now people don't understand disabilities doesn't mean that, I don't know, maybe 10 years into the future they might understand, or 11, or maybe even 5, less than that. Like, we don't know. But the thing is, the 4U Council and the Family Cafe are not going to stop until everybody understands. And even after they understand, we're still not going to stop. Because we care about the community. We thrive with the community. We understand the community. And we are a part of the community, and we have friends and family in the community. So we obviously want to see them have a better life.
Well, the one thing when I saw on the website in the cafe.
Oh, you went to the website. I see. I was going off the heart.
No, what I said before, I wasn't going off on the website, except for the actual information. But for all the guiding principles here, the value follows: inform individuals and their families, make better choices. All people, independent of their abilities and needs, deserve timely, accurate information regarding options available to them. Individuals and their families require a forum where they can gather to network and share concerns, educate themselves about available services, and find a united voice to influence public policy and positively alter the service delivery system. Families and individuals with living with disabilities and special healthcare needs should exist in an environment that demands excellence over adequacy, honors the individual over governmental procedure, and provides support through compassion, not compulsion. Communities and neighborhoods must continue to expand their capacity to be responsive to the needs of their residents with disabilities and their families. All individuals, regardless of their abilities, deserve the opportunity to maximize the quality of their life. All individuals, regardless of their abilities, deserve the opportunity to find gainful employment. It is the responsibility of the Family Cafe to maximize its service to individuals and families by using funds wisely and pursuing a variety of revenue sources, including grant opportunities and alternate fundraising initiatives. See, all that stuff right here is what helps Family Cafe. Why is this so important? Because of really a lot of the stuff here.
I guess what I'm getting at, and we can cover this later, and we're going to cover this later into our, when we talk about the 40-year council, but 10 years from now, or 11 years from now, whenever I'm looking back and looking at the groundwork I laid, I want to still see it thriving. Like, I don't want to see it slipping backwards. Because I've been like, okay, so what are we doing? Starting from ground one? I mean, that would really be bad, guys. I mean, we need to help each other out where we can and come together as one community. Not as
absolutely. Absolutely. So one thing before we close this out, we usually have a governor's summit for CAFE, usually on Friday nights. And this year we had a Governor DeSantis come by and, you know, give a speech even though he was only there for like 30 minutes. But we had in the past, you know, Rick Scott, of course, the governor who really helped a lot in CAFE was Jeb Bush, who was running for president in 2016. A lot of people look at Jeb Bush as such a hero to the disability community because of what he fought for a lot. And you see how much influence and heart and compassion they make even we have politicians who fight for people with disabilities. It's something that they know. They understand what a lot of people go through in those communities. And to have so many changes, and we're also going to talk about the bill once we get to the FYC episode. Those are the things that it's so important that people need to realize that this, you can't make this stuff up. You know, this is so far in time, and 20 years down the line, and hopefully CAFE can still go strong, you know, 20 years later.
And I'm sure the Bush kids were like literally kids whenever the bill was signed into law.
Well, I think they were adults, but I mean they were kind of adults, but you know, I mean,
kids probably, but
I think you were thinking about the grandkids, but
yeah, grandkids, sure. We'll talk about as grandkids. I think that's more accurate.
They were kids. They were kids when they're signing, but the Bush HW sons were already adults because, I mean, next thing you know, 8 years later, his son goes into office as president. So
yeah, you're right. You're right.
You look at all this and you see how what's it so important of why do we have, you know, this event Keep Growing Strong. And this past year we had over 10,000 people register, and they're still going to keep growing and keep growing and make sure that this is this is something that we have to put ourselves out there and make sure everybody's informed of what, because we have people in living in our counties and, you know, living in the state that help.
Have a voice, but choose not to use it. And we would love for y'all to use it.
And not just having a voice, but they have people who might have this, might know somebody that might have a disability that may not pass the, you know, passing the torch or passing the knowledge around to make sure that, hey, have you heard of this? Make sure that you get this opportunity and make sure you get to know a lot of people, because really what's so important CAFE has is networking. You have to get to know a lot of people and make sure that if there's businesses out there that's wanted to get involved in some sort of like this, that's what's so important, that we have people to talk about.
Right.
But other than that, I know there are so much other things that we haven't really covered about Cafe, but I want to let you guys...
We won't.
We can go forever. Yeah, trust me, we can speak for hours. But here's the thing I want to ask for our listeners out there. If you want us to talk about Cafe more, or if you guys, you know, are interested in, you know, wanted to donate to Cafe, we'll have a link down in the description, the website down below. And if you guys want to have us talk about, you know, certain disability topics that we have for our podcast, you can message us on Anchor. You can message us through Facebook, through the Family Cafe, through Florida Youth Council. And it's so important that we have this information out there, that we want to make sure we pass that knowledge out. And this is a very important topic that we wanted to talk about, because CAFE has such it has such a huge impact on us that we are
meaning.
Say what?
I said it has such a great meaning on what makes us unique and what makes us, because not one person is alike. And we have to respect that, because the fact is, you may not understand the person next to you or the person next door to you, but at the end of the day, we are all human and we all need to respect one another.
Of course. So that will wrap up today's episode. If you want to actually want us to talk about Cafe, make sure you let us know in our Discord. I'll make sure I leave our link on our Discord down below in the description of this episode. I'll make sure that I put all of our social media out there down in the description below, so that way you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, also we put that information out there for Cafe. We're going to leave a link down below and hopefully help this cause, help this company. And we, you know, it's so important that we have to put this stuff out there. And many of you that are listening may not know what Family Cafe is, and that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to talk about certain topics like this, and I think it's very important. So that will wrap up today's video. I want to thank Dakota for also doing this video with me. And if you guys want any ideas that you have for us that you want us to talk about, make sure you leave it in our Discord page, or message us on any of our social media outlets, or here on Anchor.
So get a hold of me on Twitter, not Twitter, Instagram, sorry, at RCA Direwolf, if you want to direct message.
I'll try to put a link down there in the description. So
all right, I'll give you the link to that.
Right. So, thanks again, everybody. Oh, by the way, if you haven't get a chance to register for our annual youth summit, which takes place in Orlando, Florida, in the Florida Mall and Hotel on August the 2nd and 3rd, make sure you sign up, registered. And this is one of the biggest cross-disability events for the youth with disabilities, 15 to 30. It's going to be awesome. We have so many activities, so much stuff we can do here. Make sure you register by now till July 31st. You have until by the end of this month to register. Yes, the clock is ticking. So make sure you register. And if you're interested in being a part as a council member, make sure that you sign. Make sure that you fill out an application for our FYC registration, so that way you can apply to become a member of the FYC. We need more members. We want to help, you know, the disability community, and I think that's something that we can keep doing and keep growing. So,
and if you're And let me, and I'm going to finish with this statement from me. If you're up in Nassau County and would like to, and you have a disability and would like to be on the Florida Youth Council, please, 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 please send in an application. Please send in a application to join the Florida Youth Council. Your voice is important to us, because the only way we can improve all around the state is if people join in together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyways, guys, thank you all for listening. We'll be back with episode 4. And you guys have a good night or good day, whatever time you guys are listening to this podcast. And we will talk to you guys later. Have a good one, everyone.